Well, again, everybody, welcome back to the daily edition of the Trek Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this beautiful Thursday, August 15th, 2019. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this episode. Talking today about a very, very important topic, something that I've been really thinking about and hearing from God for a very long time, and that's the theme of going back to basics, going back to basics. And here's what I mean. You may know, but maybe you don't, that my father-in-law is a church consultant. But more than that, as I said, he's my father-in-law. He's a man who's a father figure to me, who loves me, who knows me. And I remember way back in the day, as I say, he would tell me that I am one of the most gifted disciple makers that he had ever met. And he would say that based on results, just what he saw me do at different churches with different people, etc. And I always took that to heart. I always kept it in the back of my mind. Then my wife would be the second person that has always said the same thing to me, mostly when it comes to one-on-one conversations with people in need. She reminds me of a dear friend of ours, Kristen, who was going through perhaps you would call a crisis of faith. This is maybe 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And I remember sitting on a lawn outside of Long Beach City College years ago and talking to her about her doubts in a non-judgmental way and hopefully in a way that helped her. And my guess is that our friend spoke to my wife about that conversation because Rochelle often reminds me of how much that conversation meant to our friend Kristen. And she would always, Rochelle would always tell me that to remind me of my true self, going back to who I really am. Now, the second thing I want to say is I want to make, I guess, a confession. And the confession is that in the last 10 years since I lost my job, a job that I in many ways, it was a transitional job, and it, well, I didn't get fired, but it was more of a just something that I knew we needed to leave. But since then, after that experience, I told myself, I'm never going back to church ministry, to church as an attender. I'm done with church. And I was for 5 years, the next maybe 4 years. We did house church. We visited different places. We stayed home a lot, just decompressing, healing from the trauma of 20 years of church life and church ministry, full-time pastoring. Now, what happened, though, is that I lost my innocence. My innocent way of being is what I mean to say. My innocent way of being, my true self, my level of genius or zone of genius, as some call it, is to disciple people, to invest into others, one-on-one, groups, etc. But because of many things, mostly financial needs and anxiety and anger, frustration, I began to long for fame and numbers and big crowds, and not as a way to make me feel special, but more as a way to make me feel safe. I thought, well, if I have a lot of people out in the audience, that means I'll always have a job and I won't go through the trauma that I've been through, that I had been through at that time. And so I would say for the last 9-10 years, I lost my way, away from my true essence of a disciple maker to just random things. And I'm not sure exactly what has all happened these last few months, but there have been a few things that have helped me come back to the heart of disciple making that beats so much in me. So let me give you a few things that have helped me. And the reason I'm telling you this is because maybe you are in a similar place where you've left the reservation, as they say. You're no longer living for who you really are or for what really matters to you. And maybe because of similar things like me, fear and finances and basically just fear of being out of control, of not having enough money, you maybe have felt excused or blinded to be this other person that really isn't you, and you've left your first love. It's what Revelation 3 says, right? You've left your first love, and so maybe your love has always been to help children, but now because of money and fear and worries and all that stuff, you're now, I don't know, just doing something that really isn't you. You have forsaken your first love out of fear and really out of not trusting God. And I speak not from judging you in any way, but from experience, because that's exactly what happened to me. So my hope is in me being vulnerable with you, or just simply walking you through my story and my current decisions, that you will be encouraged to go back to the true you, and most importantly, to trust God for your future, because I've realized that that's the real problem. So going back to what has helped me, so about 3 years ago, I had a young man that in some ways helped me understand a lot about myself. I don't think, I know I didn't recognize it at the time, but he would often say to me, Trigg, why do you want a big church? Because I would always talk about a big church, a big church, a big church. And I would say, well, because of this and that. And he was one that I thank God for, that would challenge me in a pretty, I don't know, just very raw way. And I didn't take it well at the time. I wasn't there yet. I was still trying to have numbers as a way to feel safe, to feel secure, to feel like I am earning my keep. And all that comes from a lot of trauma and a lot of things that I've mentioned here before. All wrong things. All things that didn't include God whatsoever. So that really helped me to think back, or to realize who I really am. And beyond asking me those questions, he would often make me maybe hint in his own way at his desire for me to mentor him as a young man. He was a young man half my age, and I didn't really connect with him naturally, so I don't feel necessarily like I should have mentored him. But what I do feel like that God was telling me was to remember who I really am, and how just like this young man needed my mentorship, that there are many others who need it, and I could easily miss it. And in that case, I did miss it. And so that was, sorry about that audio there. And so that was in some ways the beginning of my return back to disciple making. Another event that happened recently, just literally this morning, that has confirmed even more what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, is I was listening to my friend Cliff in his podcast, Cliff Ravenscraft. You want to check out his podcast. It's amazing what he talks about and how honest he is with his process. Very similar to mine in terms of gifting and money and success, and yet wanting to really be true to who you really are. A man about my age, a man of faith. He lives out in Kentucky. And he wrote on his latest YouTube video, something I want to read to you that really meant a lot to me. So he says, for a while I had convinced myself that I hate to read. So first he talks about reading, but then later on it says, believe it or not, this video is not about reading. It's about giving yourself permission to follow your curiosity wherever it leads. In this video, I share my thoughts on one of the most powerful practices that have contributed to the success that I've had in every area of my life. After you watch this video, which I already watched, ask yourself where you feel led to go deep. And those two words, going deep, really hit me. So he says, what passion do you feel called to pour countless hours of your life into? What do you need to give yourself permission to go and do? Leave a comment below. Wow, those last three sentences. Ask yourself where you feel led to go deep. I love that phrasing, because disciple making is something that I currently am doing. And I could say, well, I'm doing that. It's good enough. But whether it was my father-in-law, whether it's the hundreds of people that have said, thank you for discipling me, I need to go deeper with disciple making, not to keep it the same, not to replace it, not to focus on numbers and budgets and size and whatever. God has always been asking me, has required me, has invited me to go deeper with him in making disciples, in investing into the lives of, most of the time, younger people, but it really doesn't matter who it is, who are open and hungry and eager to go deeper themselves. In what area? Well, in the things that I love to do: creativity, success, intimacy with God, love, relationships, healing, overcoming shame, guilt, overcoming perhaps sexual addictions or any of those lustful behaviors. It might be issues of shame and anger and anxiety. It might be issues of rebellion or of disobedience or character flaws or integrity checks. All these things that I already help so many, not students, but young people in these areas. Some of them are not 20-somethings. They might be in their 30s. But for the most part, they are younger people that are naturally drawn to me and I to them. And it's an area where I need to and I want to go deeper into. I want to do more of it. I want to give more hours of my time to that area. Now, the second question that Cliff asks here says, what passion do you feel called to pour countless hours of your life into? And I love how he keeps the word passion singular. What passion do you feel called to? This is that passion, is to disciple. Now, if you're not from the Christian faith or familiar with church talk, disciple making is what we call mentoring, coaching, life coaching, and all these things that now are so popular. You know, life coach, business coach. The Bible calls it making disciples. A disciple is someone who follows a master. A master as in, you can think Yoda, you can think, I don't know, a Zen master. But in the case of people of faith, we follow Jesus. But to keep it more simple, it's we ourselves being the master, not the ultimate master, not that we know everything. But in this case, me as the Jedi master, who has a desire, first of all, and a gifting, second of all, and a passion to go deeper, third of all, to disciple others. And then the disciplee or the mentee naturally being drawn to that person, and then that relationship begins. So it's a very natural thing. It's not a job. It's not a requirement. It's not something that everyone has to do and talk to the pastor. It's not a mandate. It's an invitation. It's a decision that you have to make to say, you know, I love what I see, what I feel. I love who he is, meaning your mentor or me in this case. And I want to be around him. And of course, I may put out an invitation, but it has to be your decision. And so when Cliff asks, what do you feel called to pour countless hours of your life into? I could say preaching, building a church, making money for the church, music, all things that I love to do. As you know, I have way too many interests and too many things that I'm into. But if I was to choose the one thing, it would be to make disciples, to spend time with 12 people, men, women of God who want to change the world, who want to heal, who want to overcome whatever obstacles are in their lives, who want to influence other people, who want to bring other people to faith, or they want to be better moms, or they want to, if they're a younger person, they want to overcome, as I said, sexual things, or they don't know what to do with their desires for money and fame and success, or men or women. And they want to avoid the traps of this world. They want to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, the last thing that he asks is, what do you need to give yourself permission to go and do? And wow, that really hit me as well. Because I think that there are many times that I just tell myself, well, you know, I don't have that permission to do that. Meaning, I have to do so many other things. Or that's not going to grow the church. Or if I do that, I may get fired, or I may lose my job, or I may... And it goes back to all that fear and all that scarcity mindset, as people call it now. And I can easily be back to, yeah, just fearing and not doing what I'm really gifted at doing and what I'm called to do and to go deeper in. So when he says, what do you need to give yourself permission to go and do? I love everything about that sentence. First, to go and do. This is something that I need to go and do. It's not something that's going to just happen. I need to go and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Would you come along? Second, he says, give yourself permission. This is not something anybody else is going to have me do or even give me permission to. I have to give myself permission to do this, to stop other things perhaps and to focus. And then he says, what do you need to give yourself permission to go and do? So the going, I love that, but then the doing, of course. And this is my confession and my return. This episode today, August 15th, I mean, heck, this whole month has been so revolutionary for me. It's our anniversary of my beautiful wife and I of 24 years this coming Monday. So shout out to my lovely wife, beautiful Rochelle Baker, Trigueros. And then next week is the 18th birthday of our beautiful daughter, Isabella, our second born. But alongside all these amazing things, God is also changing me. I mean, he, as I've said in these episodes, first he told me about my problem with anger and anxiety, and he's healed me of that. Second, he told me about my problem with fear, the fear of man, especially, you know, Psalm 27. And how Jesus is knocking at my door, not the INS agent. No one is taking me away. Only God can remove and put me in my jobs or give me security. In fact, only God can. And he actually is the one that's wants to come into my life and heal me and restore me. And behind him, as I had this vision, are all of the people that love me, my church. They also want to come into my house, as Revelation 3 also says, and they want to dine with me, and they want to love me, and I want to love them. So those three or four things have been revolutionary, and now, if you want to think Joseph Campbell, the hero's journey, after this big fall that I feel like I've been through, this failure, and this, as Joseph Campbell calls it, I think he calls it a crisis of faith, or he calls it the great fall, or if you're familiar with that, if not, you can look up Joseph Campbell's A Hero's Journey. Actually, no, let me look it up so I can be more specific with his language. Hero's Journey. It's very, very familiar or a very known image, and it's actually like a little drawing that he has. So it starts with the hero being called to an adventure. And so my adventure has been always to seek love, to find meaning, to love others, to create. Then supernatural aid comes. And so that for me was when my dad taught me how to play the guitar, when God saved me from death through a war, or meaning from death in a war by bringing me to the States, to Long Beach, California, when I was 8, 9, 10, 11. Then the threshold of the guardians. I'm not sure what that means, threshold guardian. So maybe that's all of these first initial protections from God. And then he says the transformation begins. So there's a threshold when now the transformation begins. And I would say that happened at 18 when I tore up my knee. I almost had an appendectomy, but I got my first job at a church as a pastor, and I loved it from day one. It was like, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. Then it says, your helper, mentor. I definitely had mentors. My father-in-law, as I said, my mom, my wife, my pastor Greg at the time was a mentor to me. I had many other mentors who helped me at that age, 21, 22. Gary, my friend Gary, a lot of mentors who helped me to understand who I am. My friend Eleanor, in terms of music, who said, Trig, you have a gift. You need to keep going. And so I thank God for them. Then it says challenges and temptations. And so, yes, I would say church itself has been a challenge. And as I mentioned, 10 years ago is when the challenge was it got worse. And for the last 8, 9, 10 years, this abyss began, all the way to 2019, when the death really finally happened. And what I mean by death is death to my dreams, death to what I thought I would do as far as success and size and fame and money and And really, all of my bad habits of anger and anxiety and not forgiving the past, all these horrible things just came to a head. And I, as I've mentioned here many times, I was in counseling and I had so many mentors and all kinds of things to try to cope and learn and overcome anxiety, anger, fear. And then it says that after the abyss, there's a revelation and a rebirth. And that's exactly what this month has been. It's a complete revelation. Like, oh my goodness, I didn't know I was that man that just had lost my way. I didn't realize how far I have fallen from my initial call to adventure, to love and to lead and to create and to just be a man full of love and joy and peace and gozo, you know, as I mentioned here. And so it took this great fall of these last 10 years to reach the abyss, to die to all that I was. And then the rebirth is just beginning and the revelation is just beginning. And I think that today, the revelation even took another step forward in terms of making disciples. So then after that begins the transformation, the atonement, which I think is where you, quote, pay for your sins, you could say that, but really it just means that you sacrifice yourself for the sake of others, and then it says you return, and it says for the gift of, let me see here. This one says goddess, but I'm not sure what that means. There's another image. It says a master of two worlds, you become a mentor. There you go. So he calls it here a temptation to quit, facing death, treasure, wisdom, non-attachment, return to the master of two worlds, becoming a mentor. So now you're a master of your own world, and then the master of your outside world is my guess what he means by that. So where I'm at in this journey is in the nadir or in the abyss. This transformation that is taking place, beginning to take place, where I am meeting with God in a brand new way, where he is telling me, son, I love you. I'm the one outside the door, not the INS agent and the ICE agent, and no one is taking you away. You do not have to fear, man, people in power, the white person in power, the white woman in power. And I only mention these things because that's the image that has come to my mind when it comes to fear, who has control over my life, which of course is not true. And then it says here that atonement and all these things, and then the transformation, revelation brings rebirth. It says for transform perspective gives birth to the transformed self. New attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors emerge. Self is reborn. And that's exactly what is happening. Is my true self, or my level of genius, or my zone of genius. There's another book that Cliff mentions called The Big Leap. And I imagine it's based on this whole hero's journey, but he talks about moving from your zone of competency, your zone of, I think, even, I don't know, quality or excellence, to your zone of genius. I am excellent at a lot of things. I am okay at a lot of things. I am not very good at a ton of things, but I am genius when it comes to disciple making and mentoring and coaching and insight into people's lives. It's what people keep telling me. I would say maybe it's up there with music and creativity, and maybe even creativity is a second thing, perhaps. I don't know. I would say it's up there with disciple making. But either way, transformation, revelation brings rebirth, and then there's a final death and rebirth, ultimate boom, and then a return to the threshold, challenges to the return, refusal of the return, magic flight, and then a final return, a master of two worlds. And so that is what's ahead. And I imagine this cycle or this circle happens more than once in your life. And so this might be the second or third time I'm going through this, but in many ways it feels like the first time that I'm going through this, and I am looking forward to returning back to, like the song says, a heart of worship. For me, it's the heart of making disciples of love, especially young people. But if you're listening to this and you're not in your 20s, you're invited. It doesn't matter to me who you are. I am called, and this is something that Cliff also mentioned. Of course, it's what Jesus did. It's to select 12 people. It could be 8, could be 3, it could be 1, or 12, that would want to walk with me and me with you, and to grow and for me to have, if you would give me the honor, to have a voice into your life and to meet one-on-one, meet in groups, to spend time with you, to mentor, to coach, to guide, and then for you to do that in my life as well, because we're all in this together, as the song says, and to actually do this as a family, as a group of people, as disciples in the Master. And it really is as Jesus did with his 12 disciples. Of course, he's perfect and I'm not, and I'm not Jesus, and obviously he's God. So, but with that as a model, I want to spend the rest of my life, I guess I could say this, doing exactly that, is mentoring 12 people that want to change their lives and want to change the world, and that we would grow together. And our current assignment, for me at least, is to pastor a church here in the LA area and in Bellflower, and to do that with that in mind. But perhaps if you're not a part of my church, you might still be someone who I invest into, if you'd like, if you would want. This is not a paid service. This is not something that I'm charging. It's just, this is a relationship of love. Now, if you do want to be my client, as in you're not a spiritual, meaning you're not connected to my particular network here, then of course there are paid services that I do provide. But this is not about that. This is about me returning to who I am, this rebirth. And so turning this now to you, that maybe is the question, is what is the real you? As my friend here, Cliff, asks in his video, let me ask these questions again. After you watch this video, or maybe you listen to this episode, ask yourself where you feel led to go deep. Second, what passion do you feel called to pour countless hours of your life into? And then third, what do you need to give yourself permission to go? And do you might already be in that zone? Like my wife, if I look or think of her, she's already doing this. She already turned that corner, and it's called being a principal. She just started literally today. And so, my dear wife, may God bless you and be with you. But you might not be there yet. You might be still in the crisis. I know I was for years. I have a friend right now, many friends, who I would say are in the middle of a crisis. And what does crisis look like? It looks like a crisis. People going back and forth. They just don't know where they're going. Everyone knows that you're struggling, but you don't know it. You're blind to it. You know something is wrong, but you don't know who to talk to. You don't know. You don't want to listen to people. You feel stubborn or scared or just simply blind. You haven't yet become woke, as the cool kids say. And that's exactly what happened to me. But now I am waking up finally. And I thank God for that. So maybe that's your next step, is to look for someone that'll help you wake up. Or maybe you just need to pray and say, Lord, what are you telling me? What is wrong with me? What do I need to change and let go of it? My guess, it deals with control. At least that's true of me and many people that I seem to attract. Is let go of control. Let go of you wanting to make sense of your finances, your future, dating, life, love, career, all sexuality, faith, all the rest. Your financial goals, your job, your relationships, all that stuff. Let go. And trust that God has a plan, and he actually has already given you something amazing that has been in you since the beginning. And so my hope and my prayer is that you would help me and that you would allow me to invest into your life. And the way you do it is you leave me a comment below, write me an email, trig@davidtrig.com, and just say, hey, sign me up. I want to be a part of your mastermind, your circle of friends, your Big 12. And let's start that journey. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.